Speaking of highlights, Monday 17th of July 2022. We continue with the second reading of the Appropriation Bill 2023. The Honourable Gilbert Nicholson.
Thank you, we will have an action later this year, and we have heard other members. We are all subject to election, and that it may be the last budget in store for any of us. But we have also heard the Honourable Lady, say that this will be her last budget speech. Speaker, like the Honourable Lady, it will be my last budget address to the House. I have informed the leader of my party and the chairman of our executive committee that I would not be nominated for this for selection as a candidate for the JCP at the next general election. And I will therefore no longer be a member of Parliament for this party. This is because I was first elected to this House in 2007. And after 4 years in the opposition country, we were elected to government, a government we have served for almost 9 years. In August 2020, I stood down from the government for reasons which I explained at the time. And it's necessary, by now, in the position that I am in now, that it has been an all-round opportunity to serve as a member of the government. And it sounds like a Christian, but I certainly understand why I respect and how true that sentiment is. It has to be an honor for me to be the elected representative of the people who have been for and in the last 2 terms, 2015 and 2019, the electorate clearly considered that the government was doing a good job for Georgia, or specifically a good job for Georgia, and that it deserved to continue to enjoy its support. And it has also been a privilege, Mr. Speaker, to have held the position of minister to a government that was not afraid to break new ground, was not afraid to bring in initiatives designed to improve the lives of all Georgians. And, most importantly, was not only not afraid, but steadfastly committed to lead into the fundamentals of what it means to be utilitarian, in control of our own destiny, protecting and defending our values and beliefs. And it has been particularly appealing to have had the opportunity of being part of a cabinet that has at all times acted for the collective good of Georgia. And I will never forget the sense of responsibility which I felt every single Monday morning in attending cabinet where all important decisions were taken. The responsibility of spending public funds wisely, the responsibility of deciding on projects which would give housing opportunities to young people's homes and to the next one. The responsibility of deciding on projects which would produce new sports and other facilities for all to enjoy. Responsibility to stand on projects that would bring new education and training opportunities. Projects which would transform completely almost all education facilities in Georgia. Speaker, I am immensely proud of the record of this government in 2011, and I am humbled by the knowledge that I have been able to contribute in some small measure during almost 5 years to that record. In 2011, I was given responsibility for financial services, government, education, and justice. And as Minister for Financial Services, I would travel to conferences, meetings, and events outside the office. And despite the criticism we often hear from members of Congress on traveling by members of the government, the only way of getting our message out there was and continues to be present at those international conferences, meetings, and events, talking to people, and making sure they understand what it is that we have to offer. And I recall, Mr. Speaker, during that first term of office, when I spoke to professionals in those international events, professionals who were involved in structuring financial services products for their clients, and I was persistently met with a friend to go to the top figure in the list of countries that we consider for our clients. But we set out to change them, and we have done so. No one likes Mr. Hugh, that the vocal to the small territory in the Mediterranean, which is under unknown or not relevant to the international financial services industry. We are now at the forefront of that international business, and the business in the data sector, including the one which the Internet mentioned in its service. We are leaders and have been for a long time in the business, an industry which was and continues to be an important contributor to the Toronto economy and for the creation of jobs. As Mr. Isler confirmed, over 3,000 jobs in that sector and 11 new B2B licenses issued early in the last year. None of that happened by accident. It is down to the indefatigable work of our colleagues in government and the numerous officials who made that work possible. One of my first tasks as Minister of Justice was to augment the Union Court data to all its relevant data, including the previous Minister of Justice, the Honourable Daniel. And some of you will remember, Mr. Ethan is not here today, and I want to say that Mr. Ethan came to my office this morning and said he had an important engagement that he did not get out of, and he did not, I should not be in his absence from the change of the school, and we continue to believe communication is important. And we're thanking this conclusion next year. It follows over 60 years of underinvestment in and almost abandoned for our educational facilities by the CSA administration. And although sometimes we do go back, it is important in our next media to recall what has happened before and what people can expect from the new government if they ever was in the new government. But then, this underinvestment has almost abandoned, and I mean the word abandoned, was particularly obvious in the case of St. Bernard's first one at Central Park. I recall visiting St. Bernard's first in the front of my first class, and seeing quite frankly the deplorable condition of that school, what was it? Deplorable condition with many of the wooden planks infected by termites, which had to be treated. And that is why we gave priority to the school, and we were able to provide within our first term of office new facilities at the site of the old St. Bernard's hospital. And that was was a challenging project, that we were constrained by the existing building. But the designers were able to bring those buildings to life, preserving the old character, but creating two vibrant schools with facilities which neither school had been able to enjoy in their previous structure. This set the bar very high indeed for future in the project. And it has been a high standard which this government has been able to achieve. One other education project which we embarked on early in the life of this administration, which I think we cannot avoid mentioning as my last diagnosis, was of course the University of Gibraltar. We said in our 2011 manifesto, I wrote, the University of Gibraltar will commence preparations in 4 years, within 4 years. We are true to our word. That is exactly what happened in the University of Michigan to students in September 2015. And no one who has visited the university can avoid marveling at the beauty of the facility. Again, combined with the character of the old with the utility and the empathy of the new. There is much more than a beautiful building. The Minister for Education gave a detailed account of the university's offering to education and also it's an important contribution that is already making to the economy. The university provides an educational offering to both local and international students, which has been developing and expanding since the university first started operating. Professional development courses, nursing studies, a school of education, a maritime academy, marine science, PhD programs, studies in environmental science and climate change, master's of business administration, a center for research and response in Uganda. These are just part of the current offering of this very, very long university of Gibraltar. And I was very pleased to hear from the minister that there will be many new degrees offered this year and more next year. That is excellent news. The Cuba University has also hosted and arranged a number of high level international conferences, contributing to research and learning in a number of important areas. And of course, in addition, the Minister of Spoke Accreditation, as well as the Westport and Student Hosting Facilities, all of which form part of the Olympic campus. And we must not forget the important use of the university facilities to the COVID response. In the country, with thousands and thousands of people at the process at the university's laboratory. This is a university which I am immensely proud to have been involved in its creation and development. And I will be eternally grateful to the university for recognizing my contribution to the university with an award in December 2020 of an honorary doctorate. The development and success of the university in such a small space of time is spectacular. But I always knew the university would do well, but I did not know whether it would do so well, and there has been international and global recognition and accreditation of the university by the UK Quality Assurance Agency for Higher Education. And this is only a few students, and it's a testament to the hard work, dedication, and commitment for all of those that manage and work at the university. And the devices to help the old working people and the people to replicate the future. And we shall acknowledge and thank all of the staff, led very ably by the Vice Chancellor Catherine Bettinger, as well as members of the Board of Governors, chaired by the President and Nathalie Board. And we can't forget what a great honor it is to have the Lindsay College, the University of Mass, the Lindsay College, as its chancellor. I also want to pay tribute to the work done by Professor David Adlaffian as a member of the Academic Board and as a teaching professor at the University. Professor Adlaffian is a professor of medicine at the University of University of Cambridge. And in June 2023, last month, Professor Adlaffian was awarded a CDE in the King's Birthday Honor for his exceptional support service to Berkeley. I wish to echo the congratulations offered to Professor Adlaffian by the Vice Chancellor, Catherine Bettinger, who said, "We are immensely proud of Professor Adlaffian's exceptional accomplishments and the global recognition he has garnered due to his dedication to scholarship and the pursuit of knowledge. This distinctive honor is a testament to his exceptional contributions to the Indigenous community and the invaluable impact he has had on the field." Well done. It is truly great to have people like Professor Adlaffian, Lindsay College, John Button, and others associated with our university. One other project which I have been privileged to lead on was the Small Boat Arena, which is not just a facility for boat owners, but it really does much more than that, not just to be a benefit to the whole community. And that is exactly what it has turned out to be. The promenade is today used by nearly walkers to jog, or those who simply want to enjoy the waterfront. The walk provides a facility for fishing. It also importantly allows us to walk as quickly as for early afternoon, something which is not possible before we go to the marina. For many years, we had waiting for the marina, and it was clear that hundreds of people wanted to, but were unable to fully enjoy that which almost allowed that. I walked. The small boat arena changed. We were able to allocate 700 beds. This is practically 700 people to be able to enjoy the facility. It is 700 families that can do it. And it is always a pleasure to see the marina being put to such good use by so many people. And at the time that we did the opening speaker, I promise that members will have a service guide in order to be able to pull out their boat and carry out repairs and maintenance. It has taken longer than I expected, but I'm very glad to see that the service guide is now complete and has been handed over to the Red Harbor Small Boat Association with an extra license. I know that this will be put to good use and look forward to seeing the first person pulled out at the new facility. I could go on and speak about many other elements that have been involved in tools, tools, commercial regulations, and other areas. Much has been done to continue to be done in the event. What I do want to say is that in all of the departments I have been involved in, I've been surrounded by excellent professionals whose work I really appreciate and value as a lifelong. We would not have been able to get there with the team of government. A big thank you to them. Steve, I do not want to end without making some couple of comments on some of the things we have heard from members of the committee. We have said in the response, we're going to fully regard for the district. I do want to thank you. But even if you described mentioned in the debate and described the TV set as an addition. It's quite evident from my view, because it's the greatest rabbit I've ever had. This government has consistently understood the predictions of human by members of the people as many rabbits I've ever gone on. But a lighter addition, the living side of man, there is no room for it either. There is nothing fake about the state of our economy themselves, I know, but there is nothing useful about that our leaders and provide countless opportunities to those who have needs. The same goes for everything that you feel like about it, which is not there, which is not there. The name of the High Priestess, the emphasis of members' pockets, denigrates everything that has gotten to them, and he is entirely praying of progress like never before. And I want to see that I'm no longer in Dublin, I'm nevertheless very proud to have been a part of the government for over 9 years and to continue to sit on the side of the House. We heard the same story from members of the committee, all that has been here since 2012. They say, all exaggerated, capitalistic, none of it is true. But everything here, they are proved wrong. They will be forgiven for being wrong in a single year, or a couple of years. But every single year, that suggests the end of something seriously wrong with their analysis, or they take that, don't take it. The mayor, referring to the new pool that will be opened this year, said that he hopes that the new pool will conform to the highest levels of standards. The mayor does not need to hope for the highest levels of standards. All he has to do is look at the government's track record. Most local education authorities, headmasters, headmasters in the UK, and everywhere in the world, for that matter, will pour their funds in order to have a future facility and be contributed in the UK. The very important point that concerns have been expressed by congestion in the Liverpool area once the new government mandate in the Pacific area opened. Let's take that as our point that constructive criticism. Constructive criticism is offered when a potential solution is to be identified. Or what was the suggestion? One was forthcoming. Did you say there was a suggestion that cars would be banned from the area? Or planes be banned from dropping off their children? Is that where the honorable member forgotten? Is that where Governor Gladwell and Bishop were? Before they were temporarily relocated, they are simply going back to where they were before. If you're not aware that most of the children who go to the school live in Mountain Valley, Mountain Crossland, other areas, so they don't actually grow in other developments in the area, that means that most children will walk to school, and that's not a good thing. In any event, if the honorable member not appreciate that by bringing the school back, the congestion that exists in the northern area of Toronto will actually be alleviated. We have more housing in the northern district, more developments in the area. We have all the traffic that comes in from the frontier and is now moving to Delaware Road. There are clear benefits from a traffic management point of view in the move of government money and businesses back to the local area. More was missing than the honorable member's speech was an acknowledgement of what the government has done. For all people and for serious education, knows how important those children are. Well done, so form of recognition of the work, and not a gone amiss. So that seems to be the missing to be word, which are missing from the vocabulary of members of the government, and most of the ones, obviously, and it doesn't even come. Instead, what we get is the same criticism we have every year. Regardless of what the government does. But there is in reality nothing constructive at all in what we have. They didn't tell us what they would do in government, or what they would have done differently in the last 5 years. This is actually quite very relevant or the people. The LPC has had a golden opportunity to illuminate our poll, tell us what we might be doing in the next financial year, in elected government, to tell us how we would change or depart from the the day before the ballot, or even to tell us what they would have done differently in the last financial year, which we're also debating, and how that would have made a difference. It's all very well for people to say that the government are doing it all wrong and not doing enough. What would they have done? What will we do if elected into government? And it is extraordinary that they have a chance to set up a program for government based on the fundamental business point of view. To do that. There is nothing, nothing that will be able to be discussed. And so, that's not as to how they would use the function of our own. The estimates that are set out in the book can be as good. What they tell us is that the figures are unrealistic. They tell us that the figures do not carry powers that are possibly not true. The things are worse, far worse than what the figures reflect. What do we get to do that? Because there's no way of leadership. They need to have to make cuts in services. And any suggestion to the country is to be generous and to be elected for a right. They cannot say that things are tolerable on the economic front, but the estimates are unrealistic. But we're not going to make any cuts. It is not credible to me, and it is time for them to be honest. Tell us what they will cut. Will they cut the health budget? If so, it's hard. Will they cut education? Will the number of scholarships given to you? Or social services? Is there going to be a way in the dark and then see the return? The ongoing statistics have led to the allegations by members of Congress that the government is gambling with people's money. And asked, where is it going to be not spent? And I am now asking, where is it that they will not spend in the financial year if they do not believe that the figures given in the estimates reflect the economic reality of where we are today? Or is it that no cut back will be necessary? Is it that they are going to bring in additional public revenue, which will mean that they will be plenty of money in the kitchen for all the spending commitments that they will make? What are they proposing to do, given that to this project? I don't know. No one knows. And then tell us. The only conclusion we can draw is to suggest that they themselves do not do that. The speaker, after not having been able to write us for the delivery of a speech last year, we were once again cheated. This year, by rivals, we were the former, to a brilliant analysis of our social economy indicator, as well as the position of the global market. So, just analysis including that. The references to areas where he himself has concerned, Christian, including on the lack of effective substantive progress internationally on the environment. It was by all members a non-ending and honest distribution by the chair. After the first time, it is what we have become accustomed to by the father of the house. Joe started the contribution by making that last year the Honorable Mr. Clinton give a speech. Which just involved a completely different analysis. And Clinton has done the same thing. He has delivered a prepared speech with the same fear-mongering tone without apparently having listened to or even been interested in what the truth of it is. And this is again something we have become accustomed to. And although it was expected, it was nevertheless disappointing. It was disappointing to have a person who aspired later this year. Indeed, to go for economic matters, only to make a proper, well-informed analysis. Instead, we just have a reason for the political speech. But there was a justification. It is worrying. Mr. Clinton said, I'm not an economist, I'm just going to be tough. One is the district and follow approach, which the honorable member took. And both of that, he expected to believe that he was willing to take on to go to his economic level. That was a matter to be again, the right of the opposition to identify areas of waste, which they suggest to the so that those views could be looked at. That has been constructed for them by the father of the house. Tell us where you think you can do better, and we will look at it. The responsible response to the chosen opposition by our commission, aspiring to become the government position, would have been writing a book. That suggests a year where the expenditure according to the opposition has not necessary or where savings could be made to cut down on what they regard as well. Instead, Mr. Clinton said, they can't identify them because they don't have a principle of this report. That's the poorest speech, Mr. Speaker. We know exactly where the money has been spent. It's all there, it's in the book. It doesn't stop them saying that there is over expenditure. They don't need a principal or decision report for that. We will eliminate over expenditure this year. It's not sustainable. Expenditure is out of control and unstable. Those are the things as well. But he adds, we don't know if there's any way to handle it to reduce the over expenditure. other than to say for certain that the reduced expenditure is not cutting services. The data has been served to pay the cut, but the rate of spending that doesn't quite be intended to do. The gentleman, the group consultant is not at home. And the analysis is he, and only he, is the person who will be able to reduce debt, reduce expenditure, but without cut, and everyone will be better off. And it's just not credible. And we don't have to do an economist to speak up for the fact. We did get voluntary on what we will do. The proposal said that maybe an increased burden on the person has been shifted to the reality for work to that effect. And he added that any increase in the needs of both of have to be properly debated. So there we have it, Mr. Speaker. The same decide confirmation of tax increases under the GDP. The new reality, according to Mr. Clinton. Clinton went on to describe the book, Professors of Revenue and Expenditure and the Waste of Income. They were told, this is a waste of paper, and I'm even acknowledging and repeating that now. So that is a level of a lack of respect to her for those that helped to put the book together. Starting with the financial secretary, and all the heads of departments, and other public officials, could spend countless hours in reconciling departmental expenditure, in looking at what the expenditure has been for a year, so that an accurate forecast outcome can be given. To the interview, and speak as well, in their departments to put together a realistic estimate of expenditure for the forthcoming year. And all of that work, I believe in it, is that it is not work. I see it, I live it. It is the work of lawyers and servants who ultimately work for the community to provide a valuable service to the service. It's all the work put by letting the community a proper estimate of revenue expenditure so they can be debated in the past. All of that is described by the potential as a waste of paper. How many people can be in a sentence of this matter? The government. The utterly disrespectful of principle. Mr. Clinton should apologize for that anxiety. But ultimately, Mr. Speaker, it will be for the electorate to judge. This is a matter for the electorate to contrast a full and complete analysis by the jury and financial forecast prepared by the professional, which shows that there is, once again, a bright light at the end of the economic challenge we have been in. Contrast that with the basis of the criticism we get from members of it, with a lack of detail and substance to their contribution, that would simply lead the electorate to wonder more than the people. We are certainly on the wise after having heard from the entirety of the opposition. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I want to also make some comments. I know that Mr. Special Barney and Mr. Clinton have said that the information is the father of the House has provided. And we want to take on the record of the House that the statement by Mr. Clinton, when he set out to correct the record of the claim by Mr. Special Barney on the 35 million alleged in spending the government departments, was wrong at the jury. We propose to prove that the figures were wrong as the jury has stated, and that Mr. Clinton, who knew the position of the jury, wrong, and that Mr. Clinton was wrong in his statement to defend him. It is not the case, Mr. Speaker, that there are two ways of doing the calculation that Mr. Clinton claimed, and that the jury did it one way, and that they have done it another, and that neither is wrong or right. Both are equally valid. Not true. Frankly, the jury has not calculated anything. He has simply pointed out that the figure of 35 million quoted by Mr. Sabani was in conflict with the figures for the 2021-2022 forecast action calculated by the Treasury, not by the jury, and spent out in the printed estimate book of last year. And indeed, in this list estimate, as the filing was made on page 14. Of course, we do not know where Mr. Applebaum's numbers came from, or we don't know, until we have an explanation from Mr. Clinton, which rather than exonerating Mr. Applebaum, it is even worse, because it engage in providing incorrect information. The trend in forecast outcome calculations on the last line of the consultant showed a figure of 859.6 million compared to 768.2 million approved. That was for the total consolidated fund expenditure and was quoted by the Federal Bible as the fourth of the 91 million pound calculation. The Federal Bible told the House that excluding COVID expenditure, departmental results are exceeded and exceeded by 35 million, which was a big chunk of 91 million. The COVID element spelled out on the same page shows a forecast budget changes of 135 million compared to an original figure of 67.4 million and an increase of 67.6 million. Therefore, of the 91 million net of COVID, we deduct the 67.6 million and the left and 23.4 million. Speaker of the House has been told that there was a figure of 35 million, which was a big chunk of the 91 million net of COVID. So there we have the mathematical paradox of the potential defense. That 35 million is a big chunk of the 23.4 million. But I guess that. The next deduction is that the contribution to the Improvement and Development Fund, which we all agree is multi-departmental funding, and therefore not in the 35 million, was increased from 16.5 million to 19.5 million, therefore leaving a net figure of equity at 20 million. The next figure we have to examine is what actually made up the central departmental expenditure. This is a full dollar with them voting against at 550.7 million, was forecast last year to reach 569.3 million, and it finally ended up in an estimate of 567.9 million in the years. So the forecast overspend for 18.6 million is now 7.2 million. So where does the 35 million come from? Removed from the calculations made by the Chinese compared to 6,768 forecast outcome, and substitute the figures that we expected from the health services, PRS, and the training. So you can see that 146 does not go to major expenditure. It's going to the amount of money that was given to the GHA from the consolidated funds, with a few minor expenditure elements contained in the department, and the same is the case with 47 direct and 46. Clinton told us this year that the extra expenditure on these 3 years of 35 million instead of 18.7 million are both correct and just a different way of calculating. But Mr. Speaker, if that was so, then the 35 million was not departmental expenditure, because those 3 years were departmental expenditure, which is the funding of GHA, ERS, and the clearing where the expenditure. Moreover, the three house bill with a consolidated fund provided 18.7 million to not 45 million. Nobody between the 35 million is a big chunk of the 91 million that they can find as a bond. If it was so, all the other federal expenditure, representing all the other government departments, would have had to come in below budget to remain at 91 million. And if the government claimed the opposite, and castigated ministers for overspending in the department, and insisted that this underspending was 35 million to be part of the 91 million. So the procedure either there was a great deal of incorrect facts provided, which we assume was accidental, and the Bible should acknowledge the mistake and put the government straight. Or alternatively, we hope not it was done by design to manufacture a non-existent and mortgage departmental overspend in order to castigate. Since it is an old indicator, due to the expenditure from the consolidated fund, the expenses and distinct from the expenditure of the authority and agency, Mr. Bowdy was wrong in his analysis that the expenditure of the consolidated fund had grown by 35 million and not 18 million. But it was a totally artificial figure, and certainly a replacement of the emphasis that not 35,000 by 35 million was therefore to be able to appeal to Easter, minister of not exercising the proper control from a government department. The control of government departments has been kept with oversight of 0.4% and 0.5% in the last few years, and in the job of controlling officers who have done a very good job. The overspending of the three agencies is not necessarily funded from the controlling officer, and saying that the overspending of the agency overspends our government department is therefore incorrect and not true. It is clear that people control spending of the agency, it will be much more difficult to deliver that a government department, and that will be correct. Turning to other matters, we have a very detailed analysis by the Honourable Mr. T.G. Gagar of the marketing relationships in the Dutch department in the last 22 years. He was by all accounts on the top of this and finished the job and dressed at the event attorney. He has been ordered to the rocket and make it bent to elsewhere. Tourism, and aviation industry talented, which shows that no stone has been left unturned to bring the matter back in tourism terms to pre-pandemic levels and to continue growth thereafter. Since we have done that, and I know how difficult it is, I therefore applaud and appreciate the efforts of the teams that are officially in the team. What I know for sure is that in that area, we do nothing that attracts tourists. The trust crucial for a trust journey by sitting back and then turning off those systematic stones internationally, the virtues and benefits which you voted has to offer. And that is exactly what the minister and the minister of the economy are doing as it moves into the commission. The Honourable Mr. Mosina, which I'm here today, could stand with some expenditure because he would have come. And you will come to the marketing mission. What are they? Why does he believe that he will be more successful than this government and this leader has been? It lacks credibility to speak when you have criticism for members of the office who cannot be respected or the Honourable for the Senate refers to what he described as the minister's lack of satisfactory performance over the last 4 years. He said the numbers are better despite the minister. What I can say about the number. The opposite, the honorable member of the office, is it pure accident, or are there better group numbers that is both an effort made by the minister and his department to market them to Gibraltar and in attracting people back to Gibraltar? So there's no more I can say. We need strategy which recognizes that tourism is fundamental to Gibraltar. I might have to say that he will improve Gibraltar. Is that the form of the ideas which the GOP has in order to recognize that tourism is fundamental to the data and place your entry point? We will introduce a definition of tourism itself. No political reference. Nothing contrary. Okay. Nothing contrary. Nothing contrary. Just criticism for the sake of criticism and not the form of recognition. You are going to endure and not so global in order to continue. So that is a matter of choice, as you see. When I was minister for tourism, I was able to endure. But I also came as minister for the Port of Maritime Affairs to go to Eastern London. And the honorable member of it would make a great mistake if ever he had a chance to stand and chose not to attend instead. We think it must attend event. All the important players in the maritime world and the cruise industry are there. Our competitors are there. Gibraltar has to be there. Gibraltar wants to be seen. But the honourable member, with his criticism of travel and the innuendo, that by referring to the minister of being present, seems to think that the better strategy is not to attend the event. He is wrong. they talk to market people that you can help them. That is what the marketing budget for school classrooms has to be used in part for. Does the honourable member know what the marketing budget for last year was? And I obviously say that rhetorically because the honourable member is not the only one who can answer. But we are here to debate the estimate and the book. And the honourable member may not necessarily mention, as far as I can recall, the book. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Speaker, the difference at last year, the House approved a marketing budget for the tourism department of £700,000. That was the estimate for 2022. £700,000 approved by the House of Commons. Again, rhetorically, if you only remember, obviously, you know how much was spent. The forecast outcome for this year for marketing is £320,000. £380,000 less than the budget approved by the ballot. So when the member opposite describes the minister as not a satisfactory performance, did he say that he hasn't done enough, he hasn't traveled enough, he hasn't marketed enough, he hasn't spent enough, and he could have spent the £380,000 that are still there in the kitchen? But no, on the contrary, the honourable member says that he traveled too much. He's going to too many places to market and sell to Rota. He can't save some money. In fact, the division is saying that demand is not to be expanded. As I mentioned earlier, there's no invite for the situation to identify what it means. If the case is that he couldn't, because he didn't have a principal order to report. If he can't think that he did a principal order to report, he has to tell us he did. Because if you look at that, you're going to say, I sell too much. On marketing. It's not the marketing. It's not the pounds. People will talk to both of these guys. This is not the policy. And it's bad enough to offer no meaningful alternative. It is far worse to make comments which are damaging to the world. The senior referred to a particular cruise company by name, which he said he had heard was leading to vote. That's not the rule. That's what I wonder. I have heard, he said. Well, I can say, Mr. Speaker, that I've heard that it's wrong. But it's not true. And what he said is not true. And what the honourable member did not realise by repeating his false rumour is a damage that he does. Other folks say, look, what was said in Parliament and there's a clear company meeting. What wrong with the voter? Well, it's not true. That company has already confirmed the business for next year. The honourable member did not even say, I heard that a cruise company might be needed. He mentioned the company said. And the most worrying part of the speaker is that the honourable member does not seem to care about damaging to both. All is fair game in politics. Okay. But it shouldn't be, Mr. Speaker. We've seen that before from members opposite in other areas where they make potentially damaging comments. Now we have it from Mr. Speaker. He is happy to repeat. In the Parliament without checking the facts. A rumor he has heard which happens to be untrue and to name the company to confirm or concern. And he's happy to do so even if it causes damage to Gibraltar. Again, let the election take place. Mr. Bullitt, he's not here today and that's even better things to do than participate in the parliamentary debate. He started and continued with what can only be described as a fact. The contribution was so basic, so out of touch with reality, that it is not even worthy of comment. He even complained about it to be here in the afternoon. We are on several hours, he said. What an extraordinary statement from a member of the public. The honourable member sounded like a bull in a china shop. Destroying everything in his power, the good and the bad, indiscriminately. Everything is bad, everything is positive, he told the public. I was wondering during the speech whether we actually live in a good place, Mr. Speaker. We will get budget done because there are one would have thought that the honourable member would be a little bit more original. Presumably, what he meant was that we would get the post budget done. Really? Oh. What is it that he would do for the Chief Minister, the Deputy Chief Minister, and their teams have not done. What we have seen from the government side is protection of the Gaza on fundamental matters. So what only is what he did is Mr. Philip did in order to get the deal done. That must be the implication in what he said. They would give the sentence. What is it that he has negotiating power that nobody else is able to have, and that he would convince everyone that the negotiation to accept on the day. So the electorate is entitled to know how they would get the deal done. And then that is the top of all of the things that the Honourable Member has made, and that concerns and brings it. And then he went on to say that the government has struggled to conform with what do you hear about the audit when the Council General asked about this? What else did he talk about? The paper said he didn't say it. He said he can't tell us. Well, now if the paper tells us only after the Rosina, he then also asked Mr. Phillips about what. And maybe next year, when they are still sitting on those benches, they can tell us. People are very much quiet with the Honourable Member. Phillips himself believes what he was saying. And it is clear that the opposition does not believe what he said. Mr. Phillips talked about selling the matter on financial services. They said, well, our product is not good, it's all terrible. And then 2 minutes later, Mr. Phillips congratulates Mr. Isra for the excellent work, for the fabulous work that has been done on financial services and gaming. Thank God for a complete answer to Mr. Phillips. I think that Mr. Peter, who I'd like to see is now with us, and it's the same for Mr. Peter. Let me just say that I did mention earlier on when he was absent that he had approached me this morning and that I gave him a nice message that he had given me and that I appreciated. And I accept that, but I'm very glad to see that Mr. Peter is now with us. But there is a bit more than just congratulating him. But he had a totally different story from Mr. Putin. He very much sounded like a good guy, statement, reflecting on his time in office, the Ramadan, recognizing the work done by the Honourable Sir Arthur Sutherland, and thanking him. And then he said, he delivered the same speech again that we have heard year after year since 2012. I don't hear that they say anything new. Nothing at all. He rehashed the same argument that has been making since 2012 about debt, about borrowing, about divorce, savings, bank. He said things were done for the first time without numbers. But we have two general elections, 2015 and 2019. And on both occasions, the electorate has decided to vote for in this government. So on both times, the electorate has rejected of the people's arguments. Repeating the same unmeritorious argument year after year does not make the arguments meritorious. He talked about the plan he had in 2015, which would have been implemented for the elections. But they weren't. They weren't elected in 2015, and they weren't elected in 2019. Again, Mr. Peter's plans were rejected. Mr. Peter said in response to Mr. Isra, that we keep on the same thing every year for consistency. We haven't rejected the deal in 2012. In 2015 and 2019, I expect that we will see the deal rejected in 2023. That consistency is something that we should be very important. Speaker, this was like mine, the Honourable Lady. And I want to personally acknowledge and thank him for the contribution he has made to local politics over the last 10 years. We have disagreed many times, and I disagree with much of what he said in her contribution, but I know that our heart is being in the right place, and I wish her well. But we did think that some things which cannot go unchallenged. And here, the Chief Minister, who did so, rather than to touch only on two points made by the Honourable Lady. describe the state of the nation is ill-reported. This is going to ask, what are the benefits of this economic plan? Who has benefited? Where are the money going? This is the growth that we have had in our economy in the last 12 years that has allowed this government to invest in our community. It is that growth that has allowed the departmental entities, including in health and social services, to be increased. The Honourable Lady has been in this house for 8 years. All she has to do is look at the book 8 years ago and compare it to the book today. We will have seen an increase in departmental expenditure in the overall 13%, and that's only in recurrent expenditure. That's where the money has gone in the last 8 years, on services to the community. It is the people of Gibraltar who have benefited from the government's economic plan. From 2011 to this year, we have around, increase in departmental expenditure in the government's service in office. Those are the benefits of the entire plan. That is where the money has gone. And the Honourable Lady wanted to say that the rest of the money is spent in the public schools. And that's why people feel she needs to go to private schools. So there are many reasons why people might say choose to go to private schools. But not enough money spent in the public school system in the world has definitely no one. And it's worth looking at the figures. In the last 8 years that she has been in this house, the education to the current expenditure budget has increased from 44.8 million to 62.9 million in the last 5 years, an increase of 40%. And in the last 12 years, since the government has been in office, the increase has been from 27.3 million, which was the education budget which we invested in 2011, to 62.9 million for this coming year. That's more than double. The white overall expenditure has increased significantly. In education in particular, it has increased by more than 100%. Is there anywhere in the world where you can see comparable increases? You would be quite hard-pressed to find any country that has done it. And that takes no account at all of the government's departmental expenditure. It takes no account at all of the movement in capital expenditure that we have seen in the new school project. Not just the leader, but the capital expenditure on all the schools throughout the years, which we have been supporting country have already. Refers to and to serve for all no one can possibly believe that not enough has been spent on the public school building. The complement of teachers in 2011 was 332. That was increased immediately in 2020 by 47. The complement of teachers in this year is less than 504. That's a 67% increase in the number of teachers we employ. Which we have been in government. There hasn't been a 67% increase in the number of children in our school. That means more teachers per child as a result of this government's annual increase on education. The complement of learning support assistance in 2011 across the age, as we were then known, was 49. 49 in 2011. The complement of LSW in this year's book is 215. That's more than a 400 as much. More than a 400% increase. The budget for scholarships in 2011 was 5.3 million. The budget for scholarships this year is 16.4 million. That's more than 2 times as much. The increase in investment in education in the public school system in Gibraltar at the end of the major budget. And our children have primarily benefited from this government's investment in education. Better schools, more teachers, more resources, more systems, more resources for the schools, more scholarships. All of these have demonstrated a steadfast commitment to education by this government. And I, for one, am proud to be a part of that in the Ministry of Education for all schools. Thank you. Speaker, we have heard many references to the debate with the unprecedented challenges we have faced over the last four years. And we have faced challenges like never before. And we will continue to face challenges because we really as great as it is going to be, is what it's like. What happens when we do or no do. Because now is not a time to take risks. Now is not the time to gamble with our future. We know what we get for interpreting every government. A government with record is there to oversee it. And all we have to do is look around. All we have to do is look at the economic record closing us out 20 years. I remember when I used to travel and speak to politicians from other countries. They just couldn't believe how we delivered growth consistently in double digits. We are and have been the economic engine of countries around the world. And we have heard from the two people that the economic data doesn't have capacity. And this is not data produced by the government simply because the figures are convenient. This data is produced by a business about capacity. And the figures do not lie, Mr. Speaker. They show that Ivanka is in the process of an economic economy to be less common expected, to be less common than most other countries. We are producing a surplus for this year when other countries are still struggling to recover and to really dream of an economic outlook such as to get. Together, the figures in the fact announced by the Chief Minister are clearly described as staggering. A 7.5% growth expected in our economy in 2022. A net debt to GDP ratio lower now than 2011. A record number of jobs in our economy, not just coming back to 2008 levels, but a record number overall of jobs in our economy. Greater number of visitor arrivals. Public expenditure up by over 60%. Government revenue significantly higher than British economy. This is astonishing. It shows that continent continues to be there, integrated, despite the challenges we have faced and some of the continuing uncertainty. And it is no accident. It is a testament to the proven management of the economy by the government, and it is that proven management of the economy that has enabled the government to fulfill its blessing, that has enabled the government to transform Gibraltar over the last 12 years in education, in housing, in health, on the environment, on sports and leisure facilities. A truly remarkable world-class facility for the development of the expansion of financial services and gaming industries, which will also be an important, continue to be an important destination for cruise companies and tourism generally. And the port of Gibraltar continues to be one of the most important ports in the United States. And all of that is a project approved by this government since 2011. Today, 1988, the GDP was elected into government in the slogan, Time to Change. And it was a slogan that members of the GSB appeared to have adopted. I think that this is not time for change. It is time for Gibraltar, its economy, its political affairs, to continue to be the size of an experienced team that has demonstrated time and again that Gibraltar is safe when it comes to fundamentals and that we enjoy the quality of life like no else in the world. That is the Gibraltar I want to continue to see. Because that was the end, but thank you, and in yourself, as the brothers, it has been really a pleasure to come ready into the house of the past, which means I will see you. because it might be a good effect to perhaps to respond to the problem raised by members of the opposition, and to bring it out of the debate on the appropriation bill.
I intend to reply at length tomorrow. Honourable members, during the course of their addresses, have since then which I think merits very detailed reply. As for a simple reason, honourable members have tried to present a case to the Parliament of Order which does not totally untrue. And therefore, what I intend to do is to demonstrate to them why it is that the numbers that they have sought to rely on are not numbers that the public can put any reliance on, and that in fact it is numbers prepared by the government, and that is to say the official, not the official, that were in the Treasury, the controlling officer of all the departments, those are the numbers in the essence of which this community will rely on. And the Speaker, I am not trying to say that people will not have to wait for the National Day for fireworks, because honourable members have been very forced to pepper their contributions with unfair provocation. Today, we heard Mr. McQueen go through a lot of that material in the manner which I think will be appreciated by the public, because it is calmly dismantled so much of what honourable members have said, in particular in the areas that he has responsibility for in his illustrious front bench career in this field. I will go through all of the contributions that honourable members have made, and I will demonstrate why it is, Mr. Speaker, that the people of Gibraltar are unable to place all the lies or trust in the things that honourable members probably have made. To do, Mr. Speaker, I will finish simply by saying that Gibraltar will today be seen again what a superb contribution Gilbert Nicolini has made to the public life of Gibraltar, to politics in Gibraltar, to all of the departments that he led in the time that he was a minister and he was on the front bench, and I will say, on behalf of all members of the government who had the pleasure of serving with him, how much we have missed him on Monday mornings, and how much we will continue to miss him on Monday mornings, in particular being told of the people of Gibraltar entrusted once again with the responsibility of government. There will be a little more about other ministers and Mr. Nicolini tomorrow, as well as I reflect on the 12 years of government that we have enjoyed so far. Now, Mr. Speaker, instead of continuing with my reply, I move that the House should adjourn to tomorrow at 10 a.m. when I intend to go fully through all honourable members' speeches opposite and demonstrate that I have done why it is that the community can place absolutely no reliance whatsoever on the things that honourable members say, and why the team representing the GOP Liberal government is the team that keeps Gibraltar. And the House could now return to tomorrow.
And the last point of question is that this last year I joined to Tuesday, the 18th of July, at 10 a.m. And I'll put the question is that this last year I joined to Tuesday, the 18th of July, at 10 a.m. Those in favor, those against, this last year I joined to Tuesday, the 18th of July, at 10 a.m.